Glory to you, Lord Jesus, our King. We praise you for the gift of your incarnation. And now we come to your word and ask that you illuminate its truth to our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Merry Christmas. For some of you, I'm seeing this is like the third service in 24 hours. You're glowing now. You're extra sanctified. Well done. Well, I hope you all have had a good morning so far. This morning, I want to share a story with you. The story doesn't come from scripture, but it comes from folklore of our Anglican tradition. It's a story that's impossible to verify, but it has warmed the hearts of faithful for generations, and so I thought I'd share it with you this morning. Now, it's a story about someone we don't normally associate with Christmas. It's a story about St. Joseph of Arimathea. Many of you probably remember St. Joseph of Arimathea as the person who donated the expensive tomb that Jesus' body laid in. Joseph, according to tradition, was a wealthy man and a trader. Not a traitor, but a trader, like he traded goods. Although we'll get to his turncoating in a minute. Some of the ancient church fathers actually believe that St. Joseph may have been related to Jesus, perhaps an uncle of sorts. And there's another charming legend, which is also unverifiable, but it's stoutly believed by those who live in Cornwall, that Joseph of Arimathea was involved in the tin trade, and he would send his ships to Cornwall to trade with the British merchants up there. And the story goes that Uncle Joseph sent a teenage boy, Jesus, on one of his ships to England to do some of his bidding on his behalf. And if that doesn't pull your heart, there's even a hymn that you can sing that talks about Jesus walking in the English Cornwall fields. It's called, "And did those feet tread upon that green and pleasant land?" During the life of Jesus, we catch glimpses of Joseph's life in the Gospels. He appears to be someone like Nicodemus, a small number of people who were part of the Pharisee group, but also a part of the religious governance, the Sanhedrin. We know that Joseph was present at the trial of Jesus. And we know that out of perhaps fear, he didn't say anything during that trial. He didn't intervene. He just let Jesus stand there before the Sanhedrin. Now we know that from other characters in this story, those who remain quiet, often felt extreme guilt. And so we can imagine Joseph feeling that same weighted guilt, that same shame and burden. After the crucifixion, he apparently gained some courage because he came forward to claim the body of Jesus and laid him in his own expensive tomb and then paid for the expensive spices for his funeral. But that's not exactly the short story I want to share. The story I want to tell you takes place many decades later. Joseph of Arimathea became a witness to the gospel and a great missionary across the Roman Empire. And as he grew older, he realized he had one last journey left in him. And so he decided to take the gospel to one last place, to the near ends of the known world, to Britain. And so he traveled to a place called Glastonbury. And according to legend, Joseph traveled to Glastonbury, where he brought the chalice that Jesus used during the Last Supper. And in it was some of Jesus' own blood that he collected while he laid Jesus in the tomb. Now, we know that this is probably some myth because Indiana Jones clearly collected it miles away from there in the Last Crusades, but that's neither here nor there. Another little caveat, this is where the legend of King Arthur stems from and his quest for the object of the Grail, which also lives in Glastonbury. So the legend goes that when St. Joseph got off the boat, he was so weary from his travel that he planted his staff, his bishop's crozier almost, and into the ground, and he leaned on it. He put his whole weight upon it. At that moment, something miraculous happened. The staff immediately rooted itself in the ground and began to bloom. And it blooms even to this day every year around Christmas time. It's called the Glastonbury thorn. Now, this much of the story we do know is true. There is a plant called the Glastonbury thorn that blooms every year at Christmas time, especially around the cathedral. And from what I understand, botanists have determined that this plant was probably not native to the island. It's something like a hawthorn, if you want to try to imagine what it looks like. And every year it blooms. In the 17th century, the troops of Oliver Cromwell tried to cut it down in their, you know, zeal of Puritan complete ridding of it all. But all that did was to spread the Glastonbury thorn. And this plant is very much alive today. And if we were over in Glastonbury, we'd see this beautiful plant blooming. When Joseph's staff bloomed, it's told that he used this plant as a way to explain and to illustrate to the Brits how Jesus offers us new transformed lives. He talked about how, like his staff, he was once dead. He was once dead in his sins and his trespasses, how he himself had betrayed his Lord, his King. But miraculously, through his faith in Jesus, God had bloomed new life into him. And that Jesus offers this same transformative life-giving power to all of us. And you know, there's something about that story, the story of Joseph, that really resonates with me. It's not, even though it's a folklore, Joseph's not just some character. He seems very real to me. There's something about him. He's a man weighed down by his guilt, by his shame, by his loss. And that feels very real to me. I resonate with that. I'm sure we've all been there at some point feeling like we've missed out on opportunities, living in a world of what ifs and if onlys. And yet, the other part I love about the story of Joseph is there's also a message of hope and comfort tucked into it. There's a reminder in the most profound ways that even in the midst of our grief and our guilt, that there is hope and redemption in Jesus. You see, Joseph's story is a reminder that Christmas is not always just about glossy, cheerful images that we see in greeting cards. It's deeper, more complex. It's also more wonderful than those Hallmark glossy Christmas cards. Like the Glastonbury thorn that blooms at Christmas, because Jesus has come into this world, he truly does offer each and every one of us wonderful, new, transformed lives that bloom and prosper. I love this story because it's a story of mixed bags, and that's very much like Christmas for many of us. Many of us can come into this season carrying more than just presents and holiday plans. We can come, like St. Joseph, with carrying our guilt of missed opportunities, or we can feel the weight of loss, or we can feel the sting of missed chances. And yet, the story of Joseph is a testament that Jesus doesn't want our lives to be lived that way. He doesn't want us to carry that weight. He wants us to let go of those burdens and that grief and that sadness and to experience the new life that he offers each and every one of us, a life that blooms into something wonderful and beautiful. In a few moments, we're going to make our own journey, not to the ends of the earth, but right here into the altar rail. And as you come forward, you're going to be given the Word made flesh. Like Joseph, God is going to place in your hands the broken body and this precious blood. And at that moment in your life, which might tinge of sadness and regret, it will also become like Joseph's. You'll carry, like he carried the Holy Grail, this incredible treasure of God's healing love. And so don't be surprised, friends, when you lean on that, if something in the midst of your life, as you stand on the edge of your strait, something beautiful starts to bloom. It wouldn't be the first time. It's happened before, and I can tell you it will happen again. That, my friends, is the faith of Christmas. Lean on it. Put your whole weight upon it. Trust it. Because in that trust, in that leaning, you might find something unexpected and beautiful blossom in your life. That's the promise of Christmas. That's the hope we have. Lean on it. Merry Christmas and Amen.